to live on the edge.
Introducing Edge, the all-new crossover from Ford. The Edge is never dull.
Living on the edge, Edge is so 90s. But Ford's new product line is rolling out as the automaker is enjoying something of a dream moment in the midst of a life-or-death crisis for General Motors and Chrysler and a near nationalization of those companies. Ford has been quietly going it alone. So far, it has said it doesn't need federal bailout money. But that doesn't mean Ford is absolutely a happy place financially. Last year, Ford reported its biggest ever annual loss, despite the sale of Jaguar and Land Rover. Now, it's in talks to sell off its Swedish subsidiary, Volvo. Joining us now is Alan Mulally. He's CEO of the Ford Motor Company. He joins me now from Ford headquarters in Dearborn, Michigan. Mr. Mulally, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Good morning to you, John.
And my first question to you is, you know, a lot of talk has been made of the fact that in many ways Ford's dodging the bullet here is not so much a matter of management as it is a matter of timing. And the fact that you had a reversal of fortunes about 2.5 years ago and arranged a credit line that has really been beneficial right now, is it more a matter of timing or more a matter of management savvy that's really gotten you to this point?
Well, that's kind of a tough question to ask. I clearly think that the financing is, important part of our business plan. But, John, what I'd go back to is the fundamental point of view that the Ford Motor Company has taken about the future going forward and the actions that we have taken to create that future. And 2.5 years ago, you know, we decided that the fuel efficiency was going to be very, very important to all of us going forward, along with quality and safety and good value. We also decided that we wanted to provide the customers an absolutely clear vision of Ford and focus on the Ford brand. As you mentioned, we divested Aston Martin and Jaguar and Land Rover and bought down our relationship in Mazda. And, of course, as you mentioned, we're looking at the next steps with Volvo. So the other thing we decided was we were going to be in every market segment that the customers wanted us in, small, medium, and large cars, utilities, and trucks. And we decided that every new vehicle that you got from Ford would be best in class in quality, fuel efficiency, safety, and value. And we have made tremendous progress on all 4 or 5 of those elements. And, of course, the piece that you mentioned is that we knew the economy was going to be slowing down. We wanted to continue this transformation during the worst of times. And so we took on some extra debt, and we have sufficient liquidity to make it through this and be there with the products that people really do want.
Well, a 41% decline in sales is the last reported number, so demand is going to have to pick up for you to avoid some of the similar difficulties that your colleagues at General Motors and Chrysler are experiencing in a very painful way right now. Last night, your colleague, Executive Chairman William Ford, told National Public Radio that the most positive news on the statistics front for Ford is a growing market share. That sounds a little bit to me like you might be happy to see Chrysler go away or a much smaller General Motors. Is that true?
Well, the most important thing is that we have and continue to produce the vehicles that people really do want. And we have really appreciated the fact that the customers love the new lineup, and we have increased market share over the last few months and quarters, and which is terrific.
But it's also conceivably a euphemism for it would be great if there was no more Chrysler. Do you believe that?
Well, we don't have a point of view about the competition. Clearly, the automobile industry worldwide is very, very competitive, and Ford is very well positioned not only in the United States but also in South America and Canada and Europe and Asia Pacific. And so, another part of our plan has been to leverage these fabulous Ford vehicles around the world, whether they're small, medium, and large, and bring that scale and that quality to all the markets around the world. So we feel like we're on a really good track.
Although I'm going to try this one more time, and then we've got listener questions for you. I mean, it conceivably, if Chrysler goes away and General Motors shrinks, it could look a lot more like Boeing, where you used to be an executive, where there's no competition really in the United States for commercial aircraft. You could be in a much less competitive situation here in the United States if those companies go away. That would be a good thing. Be familiar
well,
to you.
it'll be clearly, you know, competitiveness is absolutely the key in business, and I feel very good about the actions that the Ford has taken to continuously improve their competitiveness.
All right, one of our listeners from Eastchester, New York, has a question for you, Alan Mulally.
This is Mitch Weaver from Eastchester, New York. I'd like to ask Alan Mulally if he thinks it's possible to implement a gas tax that could support the sales of smaller, more efficient cars.
You know, many in Washington have talked about this as well, that a gas tax would actually help demand. Do you agree?
Well, clearly, getting the consumer involved in energy independence, energy security, sustainability is absolutely key, no matter what our how we come out on our energy policy going forward. And you could really see what happened as the fuel prices went up over this last year, and the consumers moved to a more balanced portfolio of small, medium, and large vehicles. So clearly, I think it's important one way or the other. I mean, gas tax is one way, but clearly that we get the consumer involved. I might point out that in Europe and many of the other areas around the world where they've had a integrated energy policy where the consumer has been paying the real cost of energy, that the average size vehicles are smaller. So I just think it's really important that we get the consumer involved in this policy going forward.
But does the demand for hybrids and fuel-efficient cars need a push in your view?
Well, absolutely, because it's a value proposition to us. We make an economic decision when we purchase a car, and the technology that we put into a hybrid, you know, it costs more, but also delivers better fuel efficiency. And so there's an economic case to be made, and clearly the more the fuel costs, the more beneficial the hybrids and the electric vehicles will be.
All right, quickly, here's a listener named Samuel with a very specific problem related to hybrids.
I recently bought a 2008 Mercury Mariner hybrid. But there were so few available, I had to wait for absolute weeks. Why aren't they making more of these hybrids so that people could buy them and so that the company could take advantage of a product that is timely?
Well, Samuel has a really good question because he's absolutely right. When we first introduced the SUV, the small SUV utility hybrid, it was such a success in the marketplace. And we have been gearing up our production even more rapidly to satisfy that demand. And we really see that now also with the new Escape Hybrid and also the Fusion Hybrid, which gets 41 miles to the gallon, 8 miles to the gallon better than the Toyota Camry. So we really learned from Samuel's question, and we are going to have the vehicles that people want in the quantity that they want them.
All right, Alan Mulally, here's a question from your neighborhood, close to your neighborhood anyway.
My name is Anthony Ambrogio. I live in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, just one block outside of Detroit. I wonder what the auto manufacturers can do about the people who sell and service their cars, because it's been my experience that even when an American manufacturer makes a superior product, the problem comes in with the people who sell the car and then are supposed to service it. They treat you like dirt.
Problem of branding and customer service there. How are you dealing with that?
Well, Anthony really makes a good point. And if you look a little deeper into Anthony's question, one of the issues that we ended up is that we ended up with too many dealers, especially in the large metropolitan areas. And so the most important thing that we're doing with the dealers in partnership with them is to get the dealers, the size of the number of dealers around the United States, get it right-sized. That means they'll get their throughput up, their profitability up. They'll continue to invest more in their store, and their whole attitude and the way they approach the marketplace will improve dramatically. But I'm with Anthony that I think with the Ford brand now and also the quality of our vehicles and the excitement that the dealers have, and especially as they become more successful as we get them right-sized, I think that everybody's going to have a whole different feeling and experience with Ford going forward that they're going to really appreciate.
Alan Mulally, we have time for one more question. Here it is.
Yes.
Good morning. Troy calling from North Dakota. Question for Alan Mulally. Individual production designs aside, how can American auto manufacturers innovate their processes or upgrade their facilities to close the production gap and come up to speed with their foreign-based competitors whose North American plants consistently outperform us?
Alan Mulally?
Well, absolutely. I'm glad you asked that question. It's a great ending question. That has been our number one goal, is that we are best in class with every new vehicle when it comes to quality, fuel efficiency, safety, and value, which means productivity. And I'm really pleased to be able to share with everybody that with the agreements that we've made with the UAW, that it's a transformational agreement on our cost structure, plus what we have done in the plants on quality and productivity, we are equal to or better than the best auto companies in the world when it comes to our quality and our productivity. But also, even so important to all of us, that means that we can make the finest cars in the world, small, medium, and large, in the United States, and do it profitably. So we're going to provide a lot of opportunities and a lot of excitement for so many people going forward.
Alan Mulally, CEO of the Ford Motor Company, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, John. Drive a Ford.
He's speaking to us from Dearborn, Michigan. That's Alan Mulally, the Chief Executive Officer of the Ford Motor Company. Hasn't taken TARP money yet. We shall see.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.